Welcome to the second episode of Mobile Podcast, your exclusive insight into the major public interest issues affecting the mobile telecommunications industry. I'm your host, Peter Russell, and at this edition we will speak with radiobiologist Dr. Eric Van Rongen, Secretary of the Committee on Radiation Protection for the Health Council of the Netherlands. Dr. Van Rongen has over 30 years' experience studying non-ionising radiation, spending the last 15 years with the Health Council of the Netherlands. He is a member and advisor to several national and international organisations and is the Vice President of the European Bioelectromagnetics Association. A scientific secretary to several expert committees, Dr. Van Rongen has written many advisory reports on the health effects of low and high frequency electromagnetic fields, most recently for the Irish government. Mobile Podcast is honoured to have Dr. Van Rongen as its guest. Eric, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Peter. It's my pleasure to be on the program.
In this edition, we will look at new technology such as third-generation mobile phone services, cordless phones and wireless networks, and whether or not these concerns are justified. Well, Eric, let me take you back a couple of years. In 2003, media reports around the world based on research conducted by the Netherlands Organisation for Applied Scientific Research, or TNO as it's known, claimed 3G mobile phones caused headaches and nausea. Can you comment on that study and follow up actions by the Dutch authorities?
The study was taken very seriously by the Dutch authorities who funded the study, but the authorities decided that it was in itself not a reason to stop rolling out the 3G network, so that could continue. The government did ask the Health Council of the Netherlands to give an evaluation of the study because it had not been published in a scientific journal. As a matter of fact, it still has not been published as a scientific paper, unfortunately. At that time, the only thing available was the TNO report. And what we did was give a full review of that report, and we came to the conclusion that the study in itself was well designed and well executed, but we had some questions on the questionnaire that TNO used for evaluating the well-being. That questionnaire had not been developed for that type of study, and we were not sure whether it would be a suitable instrument to evaluate well-being at very short notice. The exposures of in a TNO study lasted only for about 25 minutes maximum. So what we recommended is that in any follow-up studies, a different questionnaire would be used that had been validated for this type of study, and that would be compared with the TNO questionnaire so that we can, in the end, say something about the validity of the TNO questionnaire. And one follow-up study so far has been published. The study was from Switzerland, and the interesting thing from that is that it looked at a 10 times higher level of exposure than TNO did, and also at a 10 times higher level, no effects on well-being were found in the Swiss study. So I think that in general, the conclusion at this moment can be that there is no real solid indication that 3G does anything on well-being.
Some people are concerned because 3G services operate at high radio frequencies, which are needed in order to transmit the larger amounts of information needed for video and multimedia services. Do they pose a different kind of health risk compared to the earlier networks?
Well, the frequencies of 3G systems are a little bit higher than the frequency of the 2G systems, and there's no reason whatsoever to assume that that small difference in frequency would cause a difference in effect. Actually, if you look at what's known about those systems, if anything would cause a difference in health effects, then it would be the specific type of signal, but also the available information on that does not indicate that that's a problem.
Some people claim to be especially sensitive to 3G emissions. Is there any reason why 3G could cause symptoms for certain groups in the community?
No, at this moment there's no reason whatsoever. A number of scientific studies have been done on the relationship between exposure to 2G or 3G signals and symptoms. And from those studies, no relationship between the two has emerged. It's not that if people are exposed without knowing that they are exposed, that the symptoms will occur. Symptoms occur if people think that they are exposed. So it's more a psychosomatic effect.
The Health Council of the Netherlands has looked at the issue of mobile phone usage by children and whether precautionary measures are justified. What was concluded?
Well, we wanted to know whether children will be more sensitive than adults to mobile phone signals. And in order to study that, we looked at development of children's heads, because heads are, of course, most exposed by mobile phones. If you look at the development of children, then only at the very early development, you can say that there's a difference between the head and brain tissue, primarily, between children and adults. But the development of children progresses pretty fast, very early in life. And that led us to conclude that as of an age of about 2 years, that the difference between children and adults is only minimal and would not cause any difference in sensitivity to mobile phone signals. So that led us to conclude that there is no reason to recommend that children should not use a mobile phone as much as adults do.
The 2006 Health Council of the Netherlands review also looked at cordless phone systems. Are there health risks for cordless phones?
No. As far as the available scientific evidence indicates, you cannot say that there are any health risks from cordless phones. What we did was take an inventory of all the available scientific evidence, which is not that much, but still, and then because it was not that much, we compared it with the evidence for other phone systems. We also looked at the actual exposure from the cordless phones, which is much less than exposure from mobile phones, for instance. And that combined information led us to conclude that there's no reason whatsoever to expect any health risks from the use of cordless phones in the house.
Why is an annual review of mobile phones and base station safety necessary? Does this simply imply that there remains a degree of doubt or uncertainty?
Well, yes. A lot of research is still ongoing and needs to be evaluated when it has been published. New studies are also being started. Actually, here in the Netherlands last year, the government started a major national research program on electromagnetic fields and health. So the results from that will be due in a couple of years and also will need to be evaluated. The annual Health Council reviews give an annual update of the most important studies and are very much appreciated by the government, which is the prime target of our reviews, but also by the general public. So we will continue producing those health reviews.
Recently, we have seen some media articles on whether wireless or Wi-Fi networks cause any health effects. Do you see any issues there?
Well, it is an issue in that respect that Wi-Fi is yet another source of exposure in the environment. People are exposed to Wi-Fi signals increasingly at different places, in public places, at home. So it's useful to make an inventory of the actual exposure of people and to see whether those exposure levels will be high enough to cause any health effects. The information available at this time does not indicate that people should be afraid of Wi-Fi systems because the exposure will be very high. Only very, very close to the antennas at a distance of maybe a couple of centimeters or less, exposure may come in the area of the Ignerb limits. And it may be wise to keep some distance from the antennas, but a distance of at least 5 or 10 centimeters will be enough. At any larger distances, the exposure will be very, very low.
Some authorities seem to be suggesting that there should be restrictions on mobile phone masts or wireless networks in and around the school. And yet this is not shared by other authorities. What should we make of this debate, and what is the science saying?
Well, there's no reason to assume that children will be more sensitive to exposure to electromagnetic fields than adults. So there's also no reason actually to make special restrictions on citing mobile phone masts on top of school buildings or wireless networks in schools. Actually, if you put a mobile phone mast on top of a school building, then the exposure in the building will be much lower than at some distance from the mast. There have been examples here in the Netherlands, but also in other countries, where masts had to be removed from a school building and put at some distance from the school. Actually, in that case, the exposure of the children at the school was higher when the mask was removed and put at some distance than when the mask was still at the school itself. So it should be taken seriously, the concerns of people, but people should also be informed about what happens if the mask is removed and put at some distance. And it should be made clear that at this moment there is no reason whatsoever to be afraid of any health effects for the children.
So, Eric, if you were to sum up, where are we today in terms of scientific understanding on this whole issue? What would you say?
Well, I would say that we know a lot about effects of electromagnetic fields on health. And in general, with the exposure that's available in the environment, there's no reason to assume that that will result in any health effects. That those exposure levels are way below any levels above which health effects may occur. If you look at long-term exposure from other sources like radio and television transmitters, a lot of studies have been performed in that area, and those studies do not show that even the decades of exposure to radio and television signals lead to any health effects. So that's sort of reassuring with respect to the use of mobile telephone systems. Nevertheless, specific information on those on possible long-term effects from mobile telephone systems is also still necessary. But at this moment, to wrap it up, I would say there's no reason to assume that health effects from mobile telephone systems should be feared.
Well, thank you, Eric. It's been a pleasure having you on Mobile Podcast.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Mobile Podcast would like to thank Dr. Eric Van Rongen for giving up his time to appear on the program. We would also like to thank you for listening and hope you enjoyed the second episode produced in May 2007. Mobile Podcast will be available for download regularly at www.mmfai.org/mobilepodcast or www.gsmworld.com/help. Mobile Podcast is made available for download by the Mobile Manufacturers Forum and the GSM Association. The information contained on this podcast is provided for general information purposes only and does not purport to offer legal, health or any other professional advice. Where reference is made to a company or a specific commercial product or service, however referred, no endorsement or recommendation is implied or intended. The views expressed are those of the speaker alone and do not necessarily represent those of the Mobile Manufacturers Forum or the GSM Association. All guests have volunteered their time to help promote an open discussion of the issues addressed.